This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Bear boy for life. Yeah, he wasn't kidding. Bad boy's an understatement. Oh, we love a bad boy, don't we? Not Jeffrey Epstein, bad boy. So we've done a fair bit about P. Diddy in the last year, you know. Did he kill Tupac? Probably. Did he destroy Cassie's life? Yeah. Looks like it. And even on his Wikipedia, in 2017, he had a lawsuit from his personal chef, Cindy, who had allegations against him of sexual assault. Then after the Cassie thing, this was only months ago, he has two more allegations of sexual assault and revenge porn. Then in December 2023, he was accused by a woman of raping her when she was only 17. And now a few months on from that, we've got one of his male producers who worked for him now accusing him with a full-blown lawsuit. Now the guy in question, his name is Rodney Jones, or Lil Rod, as his producer name is. He's accused him of a lot of different things, including touching the anus. Just another day at the office for P. Diddy, that. So the first big thing you hear about is P. Diddy shooting a guy at a recording studio. Now, I couldn't believe this, because you're thinking, like, the Death Row era was 30 fucking years ago. P. Diddy is in his mid-50s, and he's still, you know, giving it the biggin' as if he's some gangster, but apparently he is. Now, P. Diddy and his son and this other guy, G, leave the room, but they're like 2 feet away. You can still hear everything that's going on and being said, and a gunshot goes off. Now Mr. Jones goes in the room, sees the guy on the floor bleeding out, and tries to help the guy, rings the ambulance and tells people, right, we need to get some fucking help in here. Now P. Diddy at that point says, look, I had nothing to do with this. If anyone asks, this was a drive-by shooting outside the studio. Keep my fucking name out of it. So Mr. Jones gets him in the ambulance, looks after him, tells the lies that he was supposed to tell, and, you know, covers everything up for him. And the guy's even screenshotted a news story from the shooting just to prove, like, it happened where he said it happened, and the story, the official story, was as he said it was. But in truth, he actually took photographs of the crime scene itself and has kept them for just such a lawsuit, coincidentally, and has the evidence to corroborate everything he's saying, that the shooting did take place inside the studio, not on the street. And Mr. Jones actually still has the clothes that he was wearing that day, so that could also help with DNA evidence, etc., of the guy's blood on his clothes. And I think at this point, the way the lawsuit is written was when he really started being intimidated by P. Diddy. Like, he's just watched this guy blow another guy away, almost. I think the guy survived as it happened, but he's obviously not afraid to kill someone. So I think we have to bear that in mind for the remainder of this lawsuit. It's like, when you watch someone do that, you know they're not right. You are going to be a little bit fucking intimidated, to say the least, if you're just some normal music dude. Now, as I mentioned earlier, there was also constant and unsolicited touching of the anus while in the workplace, which, I'm not totally familiar with the laws in America, but I don't imagine that's the sort of done thing. And P. Diddy would also make this guy work in the bathroom, which is weird, right? Because P. Diddy would be walking around wafting his cock about, getting in the shower and lathering up. And this guy's trying to create music over here. He's like, I thought we were going to make more money, more problems, or bad boys, or something like that. And instead, I'm just sitting watching Diddy have a fucking a Tommy Tank in the shower. Not really what he signed up for, was it? I suppose you can get, you know, musical inspiration anyway, but not ideal. And what becomes very clear when you're reading this lawsuit is that all of the staff around P. Diddy that he hired are just there to aid and abet him in all of the fucked up shit he wants to do. There's this one woman called Christina Karam KK. She is the chief of staff, and she is very much like the Ghislaine Maxwell, according to this man. She is there to hush the people who might complain and supply Diddy with any drugs, women, anything else he wants. And if you do complain, as Mr. Jones did, she says, well, Sean will be Sean. And that's his way of showing he likes you, as if he should take it as a compliment. And Christina Karam, or KK, as she's referred to sometimes in this, she required all employees, from the butler to the chef, the housekeepers, to walk around with a pouch filled with cocaine, ecstasy, marijuana, gummies. Basically, Diddy could ask any of these people at any time, yeah, I'll have some drugs now, please. And they would hand it over. Some people just have too much money. Like, that is mental, isn't it? And that really paints quite a, like, childlike like state of mind that P. Diddy is in, where like everyone at all times needs to have like his sweets on them at any one point. It's mental, that. And what I will say is, the more you read into this, there's such specific details in it that you just think, why would you lie about it? Whether or not this is all true is one thing, but there's a lot of truth in this, it's obvious. And apparently Mr. Jones himself was forced to carry around one of these pouches full of the drugs as well. Now, with Rodney Jones being a record producer himself, he obviously idolized other guys in music, including Stevie J, who worked with P. Diddy. Now, P. Diddy knew that Jones idolized this Stevie J character, so he used that as a way of trying to coerce him into homosexual acts with P. Diddy. So he apparently showed him a video of Stevie J having sex with another man as a way of going, see, we're all doing it. You're the odd one out here. Get yourself in there. What's wrong with you? You know, we're all fucking having a good time here. You don't want to join in. Boring. I'm not sure if that's his exact words. I'm just assuming. And as far-fetched as that sounds, there are pictures of this video in question in the actual lawsuit. So it does look like he's got quite a bit of proof to what he's saying here. Now, as a way to further encourage Mr. Jones to have homosexual sex with him, he says, look, I've been doing it with lots of your favourite artists. There's rapper number 5 and R&B singer number 6. Redacted, meaning we can't actually see their names in the lawsuit. But it does give us a clue, so I'll let you work it out. So the rapper is a Philadelphia rapper who dated Nicki Minaj. You don't have to be a great detective to know that that one's Meek Mill. And also, there's a video of P. Diddy by the pool with Meek Mill where he calls him daddy.
Man, you doing it, man. You deserve it, daddy. You putting in that work. Proud of you. I love you.
So I guess we all know who was the receiver that night. And then the R&B singer. This is a real brain buster. See if you can guess this one. He's just performed at the Super Bowl. Yeah! I can't wait for Confessions 3. Let me tell you. These are my confessions. It's going to get awkward in those lyrics, isn't it? Let's be real, though. Usher has been living with P. Diddy since he was, what, 14? I heard about this years ago, how Usher had lost his virginity because P. Diddy had sent hookers, ironically, which we'll learn more about in this, into his fucking room when he was still a kid, which is gross as fuck to start with. But these guys have been around each other for years, and P. Diddy is this slimeball. We all know it now. If you're not into that, you wouldn't have remained as close to him as you have for so long, right? So I'm not surprised. I suppose now, when Usher's all over these wives of these men who go to these Vegas shows, the guys can now sit back and go, yeah, but P. Diddy shagged you. So whatever. You know, you can take her for a spin if you want, mate. I'm not threatened by you, all right, pal? Dance all you like, kid. At least I didn't get shagged by P. Diddy as he gropes me wife. No, that Super Bowl performance was great, though, wasn't it? The rollerblades. We should have known. What grown man rollerblades? Do you know what I mean? There was the clue. Only Mayweather and Usher, apparently. And Mayweather's defended P. Diddy lately, so maybe it's some sort of rollerblading group or gang. It seems like Meek Mill shagged P. Diddy. P. Diddy was shagging Usher. I don't know who was giving, who was receiving. You could have had a line of them where Meek Mill here, he's shagging P. Diddy up the arse, and then P. Diddy shagging Usher up the arse, like a human centipede. I'm just giving you ideas. There's a music video we won't be seeing soon. And actually, P. Diddy did say to this guy, if you give me sex, I'll get you a Grammy. Probably to shove it up his arse, the perfect size for it. That's why I'll never get a Grammy. They wouldn't trust us. Now, onto the women of this story. Time to get serious. Young Miami, who's another music artist, a cousin of his who's a female, she was told to go and try it on with Mr. Jones while he was going to the toilet. So he's having a piss. She bursts into the door, gets on her knees, and starts performing oral sex on him. As much as he's saying this is a really bad thing in here, I've had it done to me before at a bar, and I didn't complain. Maybe I should have. Maybe now, looking back at it, there's a lawsuit here, and she's not got any money, actually, come to think about this. Now to gain, I'm just going to leave it. It's fine. So Young Miami, who's an artist who works with P. Diddy, his cousin, who's a female, she was instructed to go after Mr. Jones while he was having a piss. So she bursts in through the door. He's mid-piss. She gets on her knees, starts sucking him off, you know, would refuse to let go. He pushes her away, goes to sit down, then she's straddling him, trying to shag him in front of the group. And yeah, I mean, fair enough. Like, that's out of order, right? As much as we look at things differently when it's a man and a woman, that's not on. Is it? As much as a lot of men, me included, would be like, oh, it's pretty fun, this. It's not on if you're not up for it. Do you know what I mean? And sex workers do play a massive part in this lawsuit. I mean, he was forced to solicit sex workers, Mr. Jones himself, and to perform sex acts on them to please Diddy. And this seemed to happen a lot. I do have to wonder, like, why did you continue on doing all of these things? Like, if you didn't want to be there, you didn't want to perform these sex acts with all these women. Like, I understand there was fear from P. Diddy, but you could have just said, you know what, I don't want to work with you anymore, potentially. I always like to explore the other side of this, because there are two sides to every story. Now, one of the reasons may have been because of the drugs, because he did say that he, with being forced to bring these prostitutes back, he would often be drinking things that was laced with drugs as well. So he'd wake up in the morning not knowing what the hell had happened, and apparently he was in bed with two sex workers and P. Diddy, who was also naked. You do wonder. You know what I mean? He's not saying he had sex with P. Diddy, but does seem very possible. Now, other things that P. Diddy would do in order to control this man and to keep him doing what he wanted him to do, he offered him $250,000 for instruments for him to buy. He offered him ownership of a property worth $20 million. I don't think he was going to deliver on any of these promises by the looks of it. And then when that didn't work, he would then threaten him with violence. One of the things he threatened him with was to eat his face. Now, it's a bit extreme. Whatever happened to just, I'm going to break your fucking legs or something like that? Like, eat your face. It's very Hannibal Lecter. Do the lambs still scream, Clarice? Now, this is really fucking dark, this bit, actually, because he does actually say he would kill his own mother to get his way. Now, when you say shit like that, to be honest, I think he's a very much a tryhard Diddy. He wants to come across as way scarier than he really is, because he's not an intimidating looking bloke in the slightest. Like, you know, if there was no guns around, you'd just slap the shit out of him. But he says things like this to get in the mind of people, like, don't think I won't fucking kill you, because I'd kill anyone. And I get how that would play a part. And in some of these sex parties, Mr. Jones has speculated that some of the girls were underage, and by that he means under the age of 16. Now, in one of those, there was an R&B singer there who was very famous, but the name has been redacted. However, what I can tell you is that he is a Grammy award-winning R&B singer who had trouble with law enforcement after assaulting a Bayesian billionaire. Bayesian billionaire.
Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
Search. She looks familiar. That's Rihanna. Who did Rihanna go out with? Who was a singer? Chris Brown. Right, okay. So we've now got Chris Brown roped into this weird, dirty shit. And apparently, Mr. Jones, when he would try and leave these parties, Diddy would remove his car keys and do the usual thing of threatening him, then getting him to drink the drugged up alcohol, and then he'd pass out and wake up in the morning, and he takes more pictures of the things around him, and there's more evidence in the lawsuit from that. Now, obviously, he's actually there to be creating music for this prick, and when P. Diddy, it's time to pay up, tells him, I'll give you the bare fucking minimum, which is next to nothing compared to what he's probably owed for all the work he did. I mean, he produced like 9 tracks on the album. And when he openly begs for compensation on social media, he's then sent direct messages from this Stevie J guy threatening him. And in part of the threats at times from P. Diddy also brought up shootings that happened in the past, one including a rapper called Shine, who was a bit of a legendary rapper back in the day. And he went down for his part in a shooting in a club. Now, P. Diddy actually told Mr. Jones privately that he was responsible for the shooting, and it was Jennifer Lopez, who was dating P. Diddy at the time, who smuggled the gun into the club in her handbag. Even J-Lo's catching strays here. This is pre-Hollywood J-Lo, when she was, you know, a dancer from the hood. Now she's not Jenny from the block, it's just Hollywood. You know, she's not going to sneak a fucking gun into a club for Ben Affleck. She wouldn't have to. He's Batman. Oh, this one's terrible. Cuba Gooding Jr. I mean, he's been done for a few things lately, apparently sexually aggravated. He's one of my favourite actors growing up in Boys in the Hood, Men of Honour, and now you're just listening to the things he's accused of. Fuck me. Apparently he goes on a yacht with P. Diddy, and P. Diddy says to Mr. Jones and Cuba Gooding, I'll leave you two to get to know each other a bit better, shall I? So they're in this fucking room, and Cuba Gooding Jr. starts trying it on with them. Apparently he was touching him, groping him, fondling Jones's leg, his upper inner thighs near his groin and near the small back neck of his buttocks and his shoulders. Probably why him and Tom Cruise got on so well. And as if this couldn't get any more Jeffrey Epstein, apparently P. Diddy had hidden cameras in all of his rooms. So when he'd have these parties and all these celebrities, musicians, athletes are there getting their freak on, he's obviously capturing all of the evidence on camera so that he can then blackmail them if he wants. He's literally Jeffrey Epstein. That is literally what they said Epstein would have done to all of these politicians, which is how he maintained his power for so long. And in case that wasn't clear, none of the people who were in the house would have known that those cameras were there. Or if anyone did, it would have been a very small and select few who were there for P. Diddy. They also mentioned that Diddy did grab Jones's crotch thoroughly. Look, maybe he was just checking for lumps for cancer. Do you know what I mean? He was just looking out for him. There's a defence, but I doubt it. I do think that he was definitely just trying to get off on it. Now, as a result of that, Mr. Jones does say that he continues to suffer harm, including physical injury. I'm not really sure where the physical injury came in throughout this. I don't know at what point he was injured, because there isn't anything really concrete mentioned like that. However, he does say emotional distress, humiliation, anxiety, and basically he wants money for that. Now, the amount of money being suggested as a payment for his damages is $30 million, which I believe is roughly what Cassie got in her lawsuit against P. Diddy. Now, for me, the Cassie one, it was extreme. It was a very long period of time, and it was just non-stop constant pain and suffering at the hands of this man who was supposed to be, you know, her boyfriend. And I just feel like it was so much more severe than what I'm reading here. I'm not saying this is good by any means. It's fucking bad. But it's a lot shorter of a time, and it's nowhere near as brutal as what she went through, in my opinion. That being said, I do think he should be at least paid for the work he's done. And then in terms of the damages, I think it's fair to say that what he was put through wasn't nice at all. It was pretty fucking bad. But I just think, like, to say it's on the same level as Cassie would be fucking mental. However, P. Diddy has denied it, which he kind of denied the Cassie one, but then he paid up immediately. So you're like, well, all right, we all know that you fucking did most of this then. Diddy's team have said Lil Rod is nothing more than a liar who filed a $30 million lawsuit shamelessly looking for an undeserved payday. Just a little question. Does that mean the Cassie one was deserved? Because you paid that immediately. His reckless name-dropping about events that are pure fiction and simply did not happen is nothing more than a transparent attempt to garner headlines. I mean, he's saying pure fiction, but, like, he's taken photographs of the blood on the floor of where Diddy apparently shot the guy, and he's saying he's got his clothes from that day, which should also have the blood from the guy who got shot on. And then he's saying he's got hundreds of hours of footage that he'd been secretly getting to back up all of these claims. So if they're saying they're pure fiction, well, then we're going to court, motherfucker. And I think that this could be the beginning of the end for him. If he fucks this up and he loses badly, and this guy turns out with a lot more evidence than he's aware he has, it'll just give confidence to all the other people who've probably been a victim of P. Diddy. Because if there's one thing I'm gathering from this is probably the tip of the iceberg. And I always try and keep an open mind, but there is so much smoke here, there's bound to be fire. Now, in terms of how much of this do I believe, I think there's a chance some of it, if not all of it, is true. But lawsuits like this are always very over-egged to make it almost exaggerated to a point where you're more likely to get the payout because it sounds so bad and these people just want it to go away sometimes. Things like, oh, I was constantly having sex with all these prostitutes, but I really didn't want to. I mean, like, things like that I'm a bit skeptical of. Whereas the very specific examples of him saying Cuba Gooding Jr. of all people did this to me, I'm like, it's a bit of a weird lie to make up if it never happened that. You know, you're trying to understand the logic of if why you would lie, what is the motive. And I think maybe P. Diddy's team have a point of if you use a big name, it's more likely to get media headlines and put more pressure on Diddy to settle with you, potentially. But there are so many specifics in the story, I am inclined to believe some of it. I just don't think that he was as whiter than white as he claims he was either. I think periodically he may have enjoyed taking the drugs, enjoying the women, getting drunk, being a part of this big group of celebrities. But at some point, maybe when the fucking money wasn't getting paid out for all the fucking work he did, his mind might have changed. And maybe that's when he started thinking, you know what, I'm going to actually take some of this footage just in case I don't get paid. Because P. Diddy is notorious for paying his artists horrendously. So maybe the motives of Mr. Jones aren't as clean as he's acting like they are, but that doesn't mean that everything he's saying here is a lie. For example, he's saying he knowingly went and recruited girls, brought them into an atmosphere in a party where they were going to be given drinks that were laced with drugs, and he knew that. And he's exonerating himself, saying, well, P. Diddy made me do it. I was intimidated. I was scared. I don't think this guy's totally fucking innocent either. You know what I mean? But I do think some of this shit is true. But I think P. Diddy enjoys a lifestyle that is pretty evil, and he just doesn't give a fuck who he hurts in the process as long as he gets the pleasure that he's craving. And as we've seen with Cassie, he will destroy a life and not give a fuck. He said that about his mother. I think he's probably half telling the truth there. He doesn't give a fuck about anyone else, this guy. But that's just my take. Let me know what your opinion is in the comments. I really do love seeing how you guys pick apart cases like this, what your takeaways are. If there's anything I've missed, do let us know. And I know I try and have a little joke here, but obviously it is a dark, serious thing. But sometimes you just need a fucking lighten the load, don't you? Anyway, hit that like button. Don't forget to subscribe for the next update on this case on the True Geordie YouTube channel. We're also on audio platforms now, so you can subscribe to us on your Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, and I'll catch you later.